I want to talk to you about when Jesus rocks up. So you ready this morning? All right, we're ready to get into it, eh? So I thought the best way to start is to start at the very, very beginning. And so if you want to, you can turn your Bible to Genesis 1, verse 1, and we'll start there. Why not? And this is what it says, and you guys would know it. It says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void," said, "and God said, and God made, and God called, and God said, and God said, and God said," he spoke. You're getting the drift this morning. God said. Then God creates Adam, the first man, and he places him into the garden. And he comes to visit him, and it's really interesting because he gives Adam his first assignment. And it's pretty amazing because Adam's first assignment wasn't to, you know, take notes and write a diary or a sermon or a book on how it was to be created and how it is to hang out in the garden, all that sort of stuff. God didn't give Adam that as his first assignment. We find that his first assignment was to name the animals. And so here we find that the world is created by God speaking. Now he creates Adam, and his first assignment is to speak to things. And the Bible says in Genesis 2:19 that whatever Adam called it, whatever he spoke, that's what it was. But there's another interesting thing it says in verse 19. It says, God waited to see what Adam would call it. So right at the beginning of the Bible, we have God naming things and we have man naming things. Now, if we jump over to Hebrews 11, verse 3, we learn this. This is what it says. It says, "By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God." It goes on to say, "So that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible." Mind explosion, right? That's going to mess with your head. We understand, it says here, that the worlds were framed by the word. By the word of God, something that is unseen, something that is invisible. Wow. Then we go on into the beginning of the New Testament, and we see Jesus, who is referred to as the last Adam, and Jesus is just sort of beginning his ministry. He's around 30 years of age, and it's really the first record that we have of him doing anything. And we find that he also is speaking. Then we go over to John chapter 1, verse 1, that we know, that it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word," beginning was the Word, "and the Word was God," and the Word was with God, sorry, "and the Word was God." Goodness me, you know the scripture, so excuse my tongue twister there. So, and we know that Jesus is the Word, that's who he is. Amen. "Nothing was made without him, and the word was made flesh, and he dwelt among us full of truth and grace." We're talking about Jesus, amen? So we then find Jesus is forced into the wilderness by the Spirit of God, and we see Satan is coming to tempt him. And we know the story, most of us will know it, found in Matthew 4. And what do we find Jesus doing? He is speaking. And what does he say? He is saying, "It is written that man shall not live by bread alone." He says, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and only him shall you serve. It is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." And so we see Jesus speaking when he's in the wilderness and being tempted by Satan. And it's pretty amazing because we see the living word speaking the word. And then we find Paul, when we get into Romans chapter 10, he's talking about what happens to you and me when we become Christians, when we get saved. How do we become a Christian? Well, we understand that Jesus died on the cross, that he was buried, that he rose again, and that he provided through the grace of God salvation that is full and it's free, amen, which I received through faith and repentance. We understand that. However, when we read Romans 10:9, we discover how we get saved. And I want to catch something this morning. And so, just for the exercise, I want to ask the question, how did you get saved? Well, you know what? I believed. Yes, you did. Well, you know, I'm in church. Well, yes, you are. Well, I responded to an obstacle. Well, maybe you did. But that's not actually how you got saved. This is how you got saved. If you confess with your mouth Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it says, one believes with the heart, resulting in righteousness, and one confesses with the mouth, resulting in salvation. This is what the Word of God tells us. One confesses with the mouth, resulting in salvation. You were saved because you said something. You believe the message that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. But you didn't just keep that in your heart. Someone might have asked you and said, well, you know what? You said you believe in Christ. Well, what does that mean? And so you tell them, you say, man, I'm born again. I believed in Christ. I believe he's rose again. He's washed me clean. Hallelujah. You begin to confess with your mouth unto salvation. And guess what happens? You become a Christian. You said, you know what, I'm a Christian. And that's the very thing you became. A son. Adopted into the family of God. Isn't that amazing? You became what you confessed according to the Word of God. We know, as it says on here, it's not by power, it's not by might, it's by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. God provides all the salvation. We want to be general. It's by his grace and his grace alone. He provides all the power because he has all power. Amen. He alone has made the way. He says on the cross, it is finished. He has done it all. However, he looks to you to speak it. And when you speak it, it's going to happen. Isn't that amazing? And you know what happens? Perhaps you've been saved for 10, 20, 30, 40 years, 5 hours, 5 days. And you receive Christ and you confess Christ. And we start talking. When I got saved, I went into my workplace and I told my workmates about it. Hey, guess what happened? I received the Lord on Sunday. I told my family, didn't we? We told mum and dad. We confessed Christ. We started talking Christ. We started speaking it. I received him and I asked him to come into my life. I spoke something, just as that scripture said. We started talking. But what happened, then I started walking this walk. But what happens is when we begin to start walking, we tend to shut up. The talking tends to stop. And what you need to understand this morning is that you weren't just called to just walk, you were called to talk. Amen. And just as the Old Testament began with God speaking, and when Adam was created, His first assignment is to speak to things. And in the New Testament, we see Jesus is speaking to things. And we see with salvation, it's a confession that is made with the mouth. Hallelujah. You have been called to speak something and say something that will create a new reality in your world. Because you are created as creative beings. Hallelujah. Amen. What's happened to the talking? Any wonder the church has no voice? We know how to walk. We know what purity means. We know what righteousness means. We may not be that great at it, but we know what it means. We know what the path is ahead. We know what sin is. What's happening to the talking? I want to read you a common portion of scripture found in Romans chapter 4. You can turn there if you like. I'm just going to keep plowing on here this morning. Romans 4:16, it says, "Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed." Question is, who is all the seed? Who is all the seed? Do we know? It's us, right? We are the seed. Not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. So it's talking to all of us here. It says, "As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God who gives life to the dead and calls," there's the speaking again, "and calls those things which do not exist as though they did." Calling those things that be not as though they are. Romans 4:18, "who contrary to hope," or contrary to the expectation, or contrary to the general consensus, "in expectation," or in hope, "he believed so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken." Then it goes on to say, "so shall your descendants be." So we're from the seed of Abraham, amen? Amen. This is what the Bible teaches, that we're from the seed of Abraham. And, you know, Abraham didn't just expect and believe like the world expected. He expected and believed what God said. Amen? And therefore he spoke it. And he stood in that place. He didn't waver. He didn't move. And then it goes on to say, you know what? This is who you are. You're the seed. So you shall be exactly like Abraham was in the way we function. And you see, it's contrary to the expectation of the world, because you have a promise that is sure. God says in his word, it's yes and amen. It's a promise that is towards you. It's not against you. He died on that cross for you, to help you, not to condemn you. Amen? Amen. And so the question we need to ask ourselves, well, what has happened to our faith to simply believe again? We're so busy trying to get our feet walking right, but we're not getting our talking right. The talking has stopped. Then in verse 19 it says, "and not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old." So he's an old fella here. "And the deadness of Sarah's womb." Well, she was barren. So we've got a barren lady and an old fella. And here they are, strong in faith. God's saying, "you're going to have a child." And he's looking going, "wow, check me out. I'm 100 years old. I'm able to do this. My wife's barren. She's able to do this." And he didn't look at the expectation of the world that would look and say, "man, that's impossible." He looked to the word of God that says, "all things are possible in me. And I call those things that be not as though they are." And because God spoke, he believed. Hallelujah. Yeah. And it goes on to say in verse 20, "he did not waver." He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith. Not to embarrass you, Nolan May, but just to use you as an example. So if God spoke and said, "May, you're going to be with child." That's not a prophecy. "You're going to be with child." Then according to the scripture here, if Noah's like Abraham, because of the Lord had spoken that, he'll be strengthened in his faith knowing that it's going to happen. But what would the world do? Oh, no, it's impossible. But if God speaks it, it's possible. So there shouldn't be a wavering. Amen. There shouldn't be a questioning. So he was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform, and therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness, right standing. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us, that it shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised the Lord from the dead. Wow. Isn't that awesome? Why do we question the word? So here's a key principle. You guys know this stuff, but we need reminding, right? Your circumstances or your world was not designed to influence you. You were created to influence that. Amen? You're not a victim, and you're not an accident going somewhere to happen. It's not who you are. You are designed to influence your circumstances, your world, and your life. How do I do that? You got to start talking. You got to start speaking the word of God, because it's life. It's power. Hallelujah. Not just idle words, words of faith. Words upon the word of God. You know, it's not a blab and grab it, claim it and frame it sort of thing, because that sort of stuff is just based on fleshly desires. It's based upon the word of God and faith, then we can know with an absolute confidence that it shall come to pass, because God has spoken it, and it's based upon the word. Hallelujah. Then all the other things will be added. Hallelujah. You've got to start talking it, and you've got to start speaking into your world, church. We need to do this, because you see, this thing I'm talking about here this morning is critical to our success or failure in life. It's the appropriation of faith through the spoken word of God. Whatever you say, whatever you speak is going to determine what your world is going to look like. And whether you like it or not, you've got to understand that if you're not talking, this world is talking to you. Your home life is talking to you. Your children are talking to you. Your boss is talking to you. The atmosphere and surroundings in which we live is talking to you. It's talking to you like advertising and TV and social media. It's all preaching a message, to the point that the world is listening to everything else and being influenced by everything else except the word of God. And God is wanting his church to listen to him again, tuning into what God is saying and not your world, because your focus will always determine your confession. And unfortunately, a lot of people are like the spies, that they checked out the promised land. And you know, you got to think about this. They had journeyed together. They had lived together. They had camped together. They'd eaten together. They'd hung out together, right? So they knew each other. And here's the spies, they go into the promised land, yet somehow they come back with a bad report. It's like all of us here in this church, you know, if God's going to do something and he sends us all out, is our confession going to be upon the word of God? Is it all going to be the same? Or are we going to be influenced by the journey, or influenced by what we see, or influenced by the experience and come back with a report that's contrary to the word of God? Amen. People are walking and talking in unbelief and fear, yet God has placed the decision and the choice into our hands. You can adopt a message of complaining and criticism and independence and doubt, and you can function that if you want to. Go right ahead. If that's what you want to do, partake of it. However, if you begin to speak life and build God's house, this is God's house. We're called to build it and represent the kingdom of God. It will forever change your life. And it's interesting when you think about it, that words convey an atmosphere. The message that people speak is creating an atmosphere. And what I mean by that is, if you, and you guys would know this, if you hang around some people that are negative, or they're complaining all the time, or they're giving you an air bashing, or they're a full-on intense, angry person, or something like that, they're not much fun to be around. It's like they add weight to the conversation. You don't walk away feeling light and free and built up. You walk away feeling heavy. You see, the atmosphere they convey is not pleasant. There is power attached to the spoken word, but what word are we looking to and what word are we following? Are you following and looking to what the doctors have said in the report? Because whether I live or die is not the issue. Amen. The doctors can say whatever they want about my life. God will be the one who breathes the last. So I'll look to what he says. And you see, it's one thing for Lazarus to be dead in the tomb. It's another thing for you to go in there and lie down with him. You know, we can go, oh, well, Lazarus is dead. He's a good man. Looks like death to me. It's all over. I might as well give up. It's pointless. He's got no pulse. Oh, well, all this was for nothing. You know, maybe we invested in a business together. Now he's there. What's he going to, man, blah, 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 blah. And you can go on with all the different scenarios, right? In doubt and unbelief and fear. But I refuse to receive the message of doubt and unbelief. Because I say, let God's word be true and every man a liar. It has to be his word alone. We've got to get staunch in this church, but not to the point of being religious. It's got to be a balance. Ezekiel 37:11, and I saw this on our prayer meeting on Tuesday. It says, then he said to me, son of man, it's talking about the valley of the dry bones. These bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say. So it's saying, this is what the people say here. Our bones are dry. Our hope is lost. And we ourselves are cut off. But then the Lord says to Ezekiel, because that's their confession, therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord. Amen. You know, we might say one thing. You might have given up. You might be going through some motions, your expectation might even be lost, but God would remind you this day that he has spoken and says, thus says the Lord. That his promise is for you, not against you. Amen. That the purpose and the calling and the gifting is for you. It's not against you. Thus says the Lord, prophesy and speak what God has already declared. Speak to your circumstance. Speak to the situation. Believe God and stand. And the Lord tells Ezekiel right here in this passage of Scripture to prophesy and speak to them, for their speech and their perception is contrary to the God, contrary to the Word of God. Lazarus is dead. What does Jesus say? Come forth. Come forth. You know, it's not just words alone. It's faith involved too. Come forth. That's all he said. He didn't have a theological discussion. He didn't give him scriptures. He just said, come forth. He commanded the situation. And it only takes one word from the mouth of God and your spirit, and it's going to change the atmosphere. It's going to change your circumstance. Amen. And Jesus has given you his word so that you might be able to get out of where you're at, because we're not created to stay the same and remain where we are. So he's given us our word that we might be able to, not that I have laid hold of it, but I press on. Amen. I press on. And I look to the word and I press on. But too many people are looking to the journey and are stuck in the journey. But I press on because I look to the word of God. Amen. Lazarus received the word, and what did he do? He acted upon it. He came out. But you know what? The grave still stayed the same. All the dead people that are in the grave, they stay dead. However, Lazarus heard the word and he acted upon it. He came forth. And when you get a word from God, everything can stay the same. Your circumstances can stay the same. People around you can stay the same. But God will give you a word in your heart to get you up and to get you out of your circumstances, that you might stand up and stand strong and stand firm, because he has says, thus says the Lord. Amen. Who cares what people say? Who cares about the opinion? God has spoken. Hallelujah. God is speaking to things. The Bible says in Genesis that he was hovering. He was hovering over things. He's looking, he's searching, he's checking things out. The Bible says the Spirit of God was hovering over the void and the darkness. And it shows us that our God's not asleep. He's proactive. He's looking. Amen. He doesn't sleep or slumber. He's awake. He's hovering. He's looking upon his creation. And he's watching for those that he might be able to use to be strong on his behalf and to act upon his word. And the Spirit of God was hovering. It says he was hovering in the void. He was hovering in the darkness. He was hovering in the chaos. He's there in every circumstance. He is always there. He's never left you nor forsake you, but he was there, but nothing happened until the word was spoken and God said, let there be. God was speaking in the beginning and naming things and calling things. Adam was speaking in the beginning, naming things and calling things. Jesus is speaking. Hallelujah. What are we doing? So I'm going to give you something here this morning that I believe will change your life, because we can be in church, and some of us have been in church for years. You can have the best Bible teaching. You can even be in the best church, Harvest City. Just thought I'd throw that out there. Amen. You might be good looking. Someone laughed. He doesn't know what I'm going to say next. You might even have a face that only your mother can love. It doesn't really matter, does it? But I'll tell you something. Nothing's going to happen until something is said to your circumstances. For it's always the Word and the Spirit together. Because the Word and the Spirit work together. And God is wanting the church to begin to speak again, to speak into your world, to speak into the city. Amen. God sees the emptiness. He sees the void. He sees the chaos. He sees the darkness. He sees all the things that you're working towards, like a marriage, like a family, like your life and like your job. But he doesn't leave you alone. He's searching and he's hovering and he's looking, but he's waiting for you to rise up in faith and to speak a word. You know, Adam could have just looked at those animals and go, wow, they look pretty cool. But he called them. He named them. He spoke to them and called something that was nothing into something. You know what I'm trying to say. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You know, God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion. God has set you in this city as watchmen on the walls. Your weapons of warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty for the pulling down of strongholds. It's you guys. You're the ones to speak into the atmosphere, into the spiritual realm, to speak about what's taking place in the city, in your family, in the workplace, in the jobs, to call those things that be not as though they are, to stand unmovable in faith. You know, a few weeks back, I spoke on the mind. Some of you were here, you might remember. And one of the scriptures I mentioned was the one that talks about to gird up the loins of your mind. And the word loins there is really interesting, because it breaks down into two bits. It speaks of balance and it speaks of reproduction. And the thing is, we can be so busy walking that we can get religious upon the word and out of balance. or we can get so the other way where we're so super spiritual that we're like a butterfly flitting here, there and everywhere, good for nothing. God wants us to have a balance so that what might be reproduced might be godly, might be life-bringing. And you see, it starts with the mind to get the thinking right. If this is what you've said, Lord, this is how it is. I don't need a wavering question in this brain of mine because it can't work things out. It's too much for me to handle. I just have to trust God. And this is why I've got this Bible, so I can just look at it and it'll be an anchor to my soul, my emotions, my thinking, my will. It might anchor me and stay me, that I might be balanced, amen? And then because of that, what comes out of my mouth would be right. The talking would be right. So it's going to take a new way of thinking, church. It takes a kingdom mindset. We have to change the way we think and the way we look at our circumstances in our world. You know, the Bible says that when we turn up, the kingdom turns up. Why? Because the kingdom is in us. It is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Understand that Christ is in you. He's the king, right? When you rock up, the kingdom rocks up. He's there. We need to understand who God has created you to be. We need the revelation that we are just not any old people. We are sons of the Most High God who has all power and all authority, and you have that anointing in you, the same one that raised him from the dead. To stand and to speak a word of faith, to change your reality, to change this world and the circumstances, because you are the ones that dictate to it in your stance upon God's word. Amen. We need to begin to stand firm and to stand upon the word of God. The kingdom, it's Christ in us. People are looking for it. They're going to a conference to try and find it. They're reading a book trying to find it. I tell you, it's in you. The word of faith is in you. It just needs releasing. And you know, we start off in faith. We might say a great prayer. And then our world tends to turn upside down. The journey gets a bit rough. We go from a nice tar-sealed highway to a dirt track. And everything falls to pieces. Just because the walking part or the path change that we're journeying on, why should the speech change? Why should the thinking change? Why should the confession change? Hallelujah. Begin to speak to the circumstance. It might not happen straight away, but I tell you, if you begin to stand upon the word of God, you will see it change. No doubt about it. I was lost, I said the other week. Doing drugs, selling drugs. I was lost, hanging around with criminals, all the wrong people. My parents prayed for me and they called things that be not as though they are. And now I am here pastoring a church. Amen. Didn't happen straight away. I gave my dad all his gray hairs, I'm sure of it. But you know what? They stood firm upon the word, believing God, knowing that at some point he's going to watch over his word to perform. And it's not going to return void. It's going to accomplish all that it was set for to do. Hallelujah. It's not a time or a season to doubt. Unbelief has to go, church. It has to go. No more wavering. We can't reason in our mind anymore and waver and try and think things away because of what we understand in our wisdom and understand in our logic. I'm telling you, cast that aside. The biggest problem we have is our own thinking sometimes. But he says that his ways are not our ways and his thoughts are even higher than our thoughts. So we just have to trust him at his word. And question. Stop the questioning. Regardless of the journey, the word and the spirit must be in agreement. What I mean by that, if I can just sort of share a little bit just generally here, no more wavering. Get the thinking right. You know, your whole man has to be in agreement. You know, we can say one thing, And it might sound good because it sounds biblical. It's what people want to hear. And we can speak one thing, but in our mind we could have complete doubt. Or we speak one thing, and then the way we walk could be completely different. Do you see what I'm saying? How can there be unity in that? It's the word and the spirit. The whole man has to be in agreement. If you're going to speak it, think it, and walk it, and talk it. It's like saying, oh, I'm a Christian, then you go and, you know, go away and drinking and doing drugs and all sorts of other stuff. Well, you're not a Christian at all, because the lifestyle is not reflecting what God has said. You see, so there has to be a unity, an agreement. And so this is a season for faith to arise, church. I really believe that. And the power of prayer. You see, the main thing we have, it's all we have is prayer, but it's the most underutilized, smallest thing in a church. But God's called us to prayer, to speak something, to declare something, to resist something, to take authority over something. Amen. We need to understand. And I really want you to understand the power that's been invested in you this morning. I really want you to get the revelation of that. And it's not that we can be puffed up and say, hey, look at me, you know, I've got bulging spiritual muscles. Look at my spiritual six pack, right? None of that stuff. It's about being able to be the hands and feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. No, and it doesn't matter what we confront, every demon and hell, sickness, disease, I'm telling you what, it's broken because his words declared it. But we've got to speak it. And we've got to stand and believe it. And if it doesn't happen straight away, don't move from your position. Because the word's already spoken. There's an old song. These are just some of the words that I just wrote down at the end of this because I was reminded of it. It just says, rise up, you people of power. Stand up across the land. Take up the sword of the Spirit and pull down the enemy's plan. And it goes on to say, when he arose, he defeated all of our foes. When the church arises in faith and begins to speak, he will defeat all the foes. But he's waiting, he's searching, he's looking for us to stand strong on his behalf, to enforce this word of God that he's already spoken and enabled and given himself, that we might be able to walk in it. It's time to start talking, church. Amen.